Good morning. I'm going to do that again. Good morning. There you are. Thank you so much for allowing our youth the opportunity to give leadership this morning. This is one of the many ways that our church continues to support our youth ministry. I hope that you know that you are making a difference in our youth's lives by allowing them to lead. And for that, they, and hopefully all of us, will be forever changed. I'm honored to invite Lucius Carroll, the head of Staff Parish, to come forward to share an important announcement this morning.
Good morning. We give thanks for the ministry of our pastors, Carol Cavan Dillon, Brandon Baxter, Aaron Racine, and Nancy Parker, who continue to be servant leaders among us. And I am happy to share that all four will be returning as our pastors for the 22-23 conference year. Bishop Bill McAlilly and the cabinet of the Tennessee Western Kentucky Conference worked prayerfully together to make these missional appointments. We are also excited for Katie Minnis, our pastoral fellow, who has been given a full-time appointment to the Purchase District. We will have an opportunity to celebrate her ministry among us at a later date. Let us pray for our appointed pastors. Jesus, our living Savior, we give you thanks for our church. It is a gift of grace to us. We are deeply grateful for the leadership of Carol, Brandon, Aaron, and Nancy, who will continue to serve us as pastors, teachers, leaders, and friends in Christ. May your grace be upon them and their families, giving peace and joy and confidence as we begin the new conference year together. Open our hearts and minds to receive the gifts you have for us in these days as we give thanks for what has been and anticipate what will be. Our life is in you, O God, and through the Holy Spirit we pray this day. Amen.
Thank you. I have a few other announcements to share with you. Our Creation Care Art Show is actually finishing up tomorrow, so if you have not had the opportunity to check that out, it is in the Fourth Story Theater, and it will be open tomorrow from 12:30 to 4:30. And I promise, if you have the time, you will walk away glad that you came. Also, our last youth small group meets tonight from 5 to 7. We are having a glow night party, because I didn't need anything else to plan for today to do something completely different. Even if you've never been before, if you are a 7th through 12th grader, you are welcome to join us, come for some games, dinner, and great conversation to end out this school year. And then also, we need your talent. There is going to be a talent show on May 21st, and if you are somebody who feels like you have something that people might enjoy watching, then we want you to come and be a part of that. So head to westendumc.org and click on the contact, let them know that you want to participate. And do this before the 21st, because you can't show up that night to share your talent unless you let them know. This morning, our teenagers are sharing the ways that John 20, 1931 has impacted them. Starting this past January, we used Lectio Divina, which means divine reading, to prayerfully discuss this passage in John to prepare for our worship experience. Trustfall is our focus today. Our liturgy, prayers, music, children's time, the entire service from beginning to end will all center on the idea that we are invited to trust in God's Spirit together and go into all the world to share God's love.
Thank you. peace of Christ is here among us. As God sent Jesus in peace, so God sends us. Trust the Holy Spirit and be courageous. Go in the world as a living example.
Let us come now before God in humility and meekness, acknowledging our shortcomings before God and one another, praying. God of justice, God of compassion, God of sacred and scandalous ways, we have so much still to learn. By your grace, we have come to know love more deeply than once before. Its mess, its complexity, its stubborn and tender truths transform us more each day. We bow humbly before your Spirit, which permeates this place, asking for the mercy and grace that comes only from you. We have at times ignored the cries of the needy. We have not always loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have tried to silence you instead of listening to and heeding your call on our life. Give us eyes to see your vision for the world, ears to hear your people's cries, and your hands to nurture and comfort them. In Christ, we become like you. In Christ, we become a beacon of light to the world. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You may do that however feels most comfortable for you in the sanctuary, and we invite you to say something in the chat if you are joining us online. The peace of Christ be with you, and also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that us, as the scriptures proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel, John 20, 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. They are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My God and my Lord." "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciple, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Any children to come up for the children's moment? Okay, so while everyone is coming up, I have a question for you guys. Who here has played hide and seek? Yes, okay. Now, who, when they're playing hide and seek, likes to look for the other people? Who likes to be the one hiding? Oh, okay. Me too. I like to be the one hiding. You like to be hiding too? Okay. When I was younger, I loved to play hide and seek. It was one of my favorite games to play. And I especially loved to play it in my grandparents' house when all of my family was in town, and because the house was so big and there were so many hiding spots. And I remember as a little kid being really kind of scared to look for all of the people in this huge house because there were so many places for people to hide, and oftentimes I couldn't find everyone, and that's pretty scary when you don't know where people are and you're the only one looking in a big space. So my family and I, in order to make it easier for me to find people, invented a game called Hide and Go Peep, where every time you are hiding, if you're in a little hiding spot, you give a little peep. Can you guys try and do that? Good job. So you'd give a little peep, so that the person looking knew where to find you so they could hear it. And this really helped whoever was hiding trust, or whoever was looking for the other people, trust and know that they were there for them and they weren't alone in this really big space. In the story we heard, Thomas had some doubts and he was really scared that Jesus wasn't actually coming back. And all of Thomas's friends were giving him peeps and they were saying, Jesus is here, Jesus is here, I promise you. But ultimately, Thomas needed Jesus to come back, and Thomas needed to see for himself that Jesus was there. And sometimes when I'm playing hide and seek, it's not just enough to hear the peeps, but I actually need to see the person hiding, because it's nice to find the people in the end. So I hope that you guys, when you go throughout the week, can be a peep for someone else, or listen for all of the people around us who are there to support us, and we should trust them, because they're such good people in our lives. So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us peeps, and thank you for helping us, and help us be the peeps for other people. Let us go into the week knowing and learning in your way. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, if you are 3, 4, or 5, you're gonna go over there to Children's Church. Oh, you're 5, go for it. Go back over there.
Okay. Good morning. My name is RJ Gilland. I'm graduating from USN next month, and I'm going to college somewhere in New York next fall, but I'm not sure where yet. I'm still deciding. Anyways, I wanted to start off saying thank you. My fellow seniors and I are so grateful for all the support this church has shown us. We have definitely felt that love during our time here. Thank you to all our Sunday school teachers, trip chaperones, small group leaders, and friends and family who have provided snacks, meals, beds, dinner tables, and so much more during our youth group endeavors. Thank you for a youth space where we can gather each week and be with each other. Thank you for helping us along our faith journeys. My faith has always been something I struggle with, and I'm sure many people can relate to that. I've never really been sure of what God meant to me or how God fit into my life. Not my family's life or my community's life, but my life. I spent all of my life going to church and Sunday school and saying grace before dinner. I would always pray to God when I was the most scared, like when a plane would be taking off or a roller coaster was going upside down. I even spoke to God, thanked, and bargained with God, but I never really understood if I did that because I thought God was actually listening or if I did it because I didn't know who else to ask for help. And now, at the big age of 18, I still don't know the answer. Similar to Thomas and the disciples who gathered together after Jesus' death, I do know that I kept choosing to participate. I went to small groups, the fall retreats, the progressive dinners. I did the 30-hour famine and the room in the inn and the summer mission trips. I even read scripture during worship. I participated even after my parents stopped asking me to. I did it because I wanted to. I was excited to go to warmth and winter with our youth group. That meant talking about God and our faith journeys for a whole weekend with 2,000 other United Methodist youth and adults. Whether or not I realized it, I was keeping myself a part of this community, one that was based in the church and based in my relationship with God. As a result, I continued to ponder about the verses in the Bible, as well as things in my own life. I thought about how current events related to the Holy Spirit, and I reflected on whether or not God would agree with the actions of other Christians around the world and the things they did in the name of the Lord. At the same time, when people would ask if I was a Christian, I would say, yes, but I'm not super religious. Because of situations like that, I think I started to downplay my faith to myself, telling myself just because I didn't feel the need to become a sister or try to help others find their place in the church that I wasn't a real Christian and that I didn't believe in the grace of God. However, now, after being asked to talk about my beliefs in front of not only my parents and peers, but the whole congregation, I start to realize how much I chose to make God a part of my life because God naturally is. God isn't just a part of my life because my parents stuck me in the daycare downstairs at the ripe age of 4. It's because I truly believe that He is there for me. I believe in the support that my youth group family gives me. I believe in the love that our congregation shows each other. I believe in the morals like kindness, humility, strength, courage, and understanding that Jesus taught me to live by. And even on days when I don't feel the presence of the Lord, or when I don't understand why God is the way He is, even when I question God's power and love, I still have faith that there is something out there to question, that there is something out there to feel disappointed and confused by. Even in my darkest hours, and even in the weakest moments in my relationship with God, I still believe there is something to take stock in, something that is worth living the way I live for, something that is worth coming to small groups every week and learning about supposed stories of miracles. This is all a part of my religious journey, and even when I don't believe it or don't want to believe it, I will always have faith in God, and I will always be grateful for the relationship with God that this church gave me. Maybe you can't relate. Maybe your faith journey has been easier. Or maybe you can, and you don't necessarily know what you believe today. But if you look around this sanctuary, you might realize, just like I have, that we are all taking our own faith journeys together as a community. Thomas and the disciples had no idea what their next steps were after Jesus was crucified. And even when Jesus was there with them to show him his nail scars and the pierced side, they continued to be scared. They hid until Jesus came again and said, "Peace be with you." Maybe today we can leave this sanctuary understanding that even if we are confused and scared by God in our faith journeys, that we are all here for each other alongside God to comfort and help one another. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Hildy Medovich, and I'm graduating from MLK in May. I will be attending Rhodes College in the fall and majoring in neuroscience. I've been a part of this youth group since seventh grade, and it has been a constant for me over the past couple years when the whole world has been in turmoil. My first experience with our youth group was the mission trip after my sixth grade year. I was the only rising seventh grader going and wasn't close with anyone going on the trip, but I didn't care. I was going on that trip and I was going to have fun. I was full of confidence back then, as I'm sure Emily and everyone else on that trip could attest to. I wasn't worried about who was going, what we were doing, where we were staying, but now that's a very different story. I have a hard time letting go of the little details and feel nowhere near as confident in new and different situations. I'll be honest, going to college next year without knowing anyone terrifies me, something 13-year-old me would laugh at. Maybe these past few years have been hard for you too. It seems like they've been hard for everyone. For me, things were canceled, I struggled through online school, I was isolated and felt alone, as many of you probably have. It felt as though the floor was ripped out from under me and I was falling, trying to grasp onto anything for support. Everything suddenly changed and everything felt uncertain. At first, I was thrilled with being out of school, thinking it would pass quickly. Well, I was wrong. The 2 weeks had turned into 2 months, and now, 2 years later, we're still not finished. A year of not seeing my friends, 2 years of not seeing their whole face, I felt so alone. We were all in this together, but it sure didn't feel like it. My mental and physical health suffered, as well as my faith. I wasn't going to Sunday school or small groups on Zoom regularly. I loved seeing my friends, but I just didn't feel a connection to my faith like I did before. It was hard to believe God would be there to catch me when COVID threw us in the deep end. Today's scripture from John feels very familiar in ways. I'm sure Thomas felt similarly. Jesus was not only supposed to be the disciples' friend, but their savior. And he was killed. Thomas believed Jesus would deliver them from persecution, and that belief was ripped away from him. His trust was broken. He was facing a cavern of uncertainty and couldn't bring himself to believe Jesus had risen from the dead. I feel for him. It's easier to see him as a skeptic, but I can see how having trust in Jesus was hard after he died. It probably wasn't easy to let himself believe again. I've learned to take pretty much any news with a grain of salt. Everything feels tentative nowadays. It's hard to believe in the little things, let alone in trusting that God has my back. We all need some grace right now, and once again, we can take Jesus as an example. He came to Thomas and let him see the marks of the nails and let him put his hand in his side. He told Thomas not to doubt, but to believe. In difficult times, we need reassurance, and we also get to give reassurance. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Last week was Easter, when Christ rose from the dead. Now, if Jesus appeared right here in the middle of the sanctuary, we would be having a completely different discussion, but we don't get to see the marks left by the nails or put our own hand in his side. We have to believe without seeing. We have to trust that God is there for us. Think about who has been a good example of God's love in your life. Who has been there to show you grace when it feels like you're free falling? Can you think of a time when you have been that person for someone else? Or maybe when you have fallen short of extending that kindness. Who here has ever done a trust fall? Okay, we've done this a couple times at our fall youth retreat. If you've ever done a trust fall, you know it's usually done by having a partner stand behind you and falling backwards, hoping they'll catch you. You can't see the person catching you. You have to trust that they won't let you hit the ground. When the floor is ripped out from under us, we are falling back into God, and we're falling back into our communities. Something much more tangible to hold onto is the community we have. I've been able to rely on my friends and neighbors in and outside of the church, and I've been able to see God in the actions and support from these people around me. The thing that scares me the most about college next year is finding my community. I've been with my communities here my entire life, and next year I'll be building that from the ground up. I do finally know where I'm going, and I've known what my major will be for a while now, but everything else is uncertain. I can't help but worry about housing, making friends, professors, and pretty much anything else that comes with the college experience. This is one of the biggest changes I've had to go through, and uncertainty is staring me right in the face. I will have to rely on the trust I have in God and myself to find a community and thrive in college. Before I finish, I want to say thank you to this congregation for supporting me and the 2022 senior class from baptism to confirmation and now our graduation. I started here during preschool and have been loved, encouraged, and challenged by many of you. I've gotten to serve and grow in my faith alongside some of my best friends, and I'm so thankful for the community and faith this church has provided me. Thank you.
An important part of worship is remembering the ways that God loves and cares for us and others, and the ways we are called to do the same. We do that by collectively affirming our faith. So please rise in body or in spirit to join us in our confirmation affirmation of faith found in your bulletin that we co-wrote in 2016.
We believe God is the creator of all we know and beyond. God is the representation of one true love. We believe Jesus is the Son of God in human form that saves and redeems God's people. Jesus is the one who offers selfless love. We believe the Holy Spirit is the light of God who guides us through the world God created. A powerful, loving entity of God that has the power to make us better people. We believe that human beings are the children of God, created in God's image. We destroyed what we had been given and take the gifts we have for granted. All people are loved by God and belong to God. We believe the church is a community of believers in Jesus, where we gather united in fellowship and love. We believe as disciples of Jesus Christ that we should show God's love through service and shine the light of God's love on others with thankfulness.
Please be seated.
As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here in the if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates or in the offering box on your way out this morning. A rose on the table celebrates the birth of Lillian Lehman Walton to Will and Amber Walton on April 13th. She is welcomed also by her big sister, Charlotte. Now let us prepare ourselves to enter the presence of God in prayer. Sorry. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. In the evening when the disciples meet, frightened behind locked doors, you come to them with words of peace, for wicked plots have failed, and the cruelty of the world has come to nothing, and the betrayal and the denial of friends have not prevailed. Life-giving God, we give thanks to you, for Jesus has risen. He has come to us with words of peace. Come to us today in classrooms, where students learn, in government rooms, where politicians meet, in city boardrooms, where executives plan, in courtrooms, where lawyers debate. Come with words of peace. In hospital rooms, where people are waiting, in prison cells, where people are afraid, in homes where people struggle to make ends meet, come with words of peace. We ask that you soften the hard hearts of those who perpetuate war. Give them hearts of flesh. Come with words of peace. Come to us whenever we are afraid, whenever we are grieving. Come to us now, we pray in silence, for those we care for and are worried about. Despite the strong and solid doors we lock to protect ourselves, to shut the world out, come to us with words of peace. This Easter breath on us again with your spirit, for you have overcome evil and wicked plots fail, and the cruelty of the world comes to nothing, and the betrayal and the denial of friends do not prevail. Renew us in the power of your spirit, that we may open the doors and go out into the world to bring words of peace to the people we meet. Renew us in the power of your spirit, that we may have life in your name. And go wherever you send us, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, like those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Like the disciples still reeling from the painful events around them, we do not know with certainty what lies ahead. But we do know this: God remains with us. We remain a community. The witness of the saints remain to guide us, in the assurance that these provisions of God will sustain us. Let us share what we have and give generously to the work of love.
Well, good morning. Can we give a round of applause for our youth on this morning? They did a wonderful job. On behalf of the youth, our youth director, Emily, and myself, we would like to say thank you for giving this opportunity for us to share and expound on our faith. Also, I think we should just give a hand clap for Pastor Carol for giving us the opportunity for making the space for us, for our youth to come and do this. It is always good to know that there is a church that will allow youth to fully grow in their faith and fully allow them to be who God is creating them to be. So now we will have our benediction.
Beloveds, God sends us as witnesses. The presence of Christ rises again wherever healing is needed. This is a hope that does not minimize pain, but honors it. This hope does not erase the past, but knows it transforms our collective future. This hope does not hide from all that which wounds, but builds community to rise before it. With the Holy Spirit, let us go and live what we believe.